Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. 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 Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, April the 21st. My name is Michael Kelly and I am here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. As always, I'm glad to be here.
Welcome to those joining us live as well as to those listening to the archives. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief, and those are: 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Now tonight, we're going to be getting into a deep discussion on the metaphysics of entropy. This is going to be an interesting one.
Well, certainly it's something, the word entropy is something that took me a while to wrap my brain around some time ago. But, you know, simply put, the definition, if we can start off that way, the definition of entropy is the workings of energy, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But the greater the disorder in something, when entropy is really high, the less the energy can move. So when there's organization and entropy is lower, energy moves better. How did I do, Michael?
I think that's great. And I think, chaos and disorder at the heart of it. Doesn't that just sap your energy and your strength when things are chaotic or when life is in disorder?
Yes.
I mean,
exactly.
You couldn't describe entropy better.
No. So, you know, in M1, and I'd like to just cover this for a minute, because in the IMHS metaphysical degree program, M2, it's largely about quantum physics, and Dr. Kelly does a great job in talking about the first law of thermodynamics, which is energy just transforms. Energy, it doesn't die. Energy changes and transforms. And the reason that we talk a lot about that, he does in the course, is about how we as a soul, you know, we come here from the universe kind of thing, and soul in a body, you leave, the soul energy leaves, and it's just a transformation of energy, hence the first law of thermodynamics. But then you get into, okay, if that's the first law, what is the second law? And there we enter into entropy, right, Michael? So I'll let you take it from here. I think, Michael, before the program, you had a really good 1, 2, 3 about the laws of thermodynamics. So I'll let you take it from here.
Well, yeah, it's just a brief kind of overview where you already stated the first law, you know, generally that energy cannot be created or destroyed. It goes into the second law of thermodynamics, stating that entropy is an isolated the entropy of any isolated system always increases. That over time, it's just a consequence of existing, that entropy will increase and things will eventually fall into a disorder and chaos. But I think we're going to talk on this at greater length later, but I think that kind of leads us into a cyclical existence type of outlook and philosophy. Moving on to the third, and this is a little bit less applicable, but nonetheless, the third law of thermodynamics states that entropy of a system approaches a constant value as the temperature approaches absolute zero. So in the thermodynamic field, when you get to that point, then you have no entropy because there's no real action. The atoms are not moving, frozen, very little energy being able to escape or really exist. So you could kind of even take that into a metaphorical stance in terms of how would you apply that to life? You know, I guess if things are in a routine and things are, you know, kind of calmed down, you're going to have a low level of entropy because there's not a lot of chaos, there's not a lot of disorder. So it's kind of a cool situation. When things get hot, entropy increases, chaos increases, disorder increases. The likelihood for a system to break down increases, be that a person or a business or a relationship. And I think that's, you know, we're taking a metaphysical look at it. So meaning the application of these kind of thoughts to human awareness and what our daily life is like. So, you know, I think these are very interesting things, but we can't talk about entropy without talking about its opposite. And Dr. Hunter, you found some great information on this. And would you like to talk about that a little bit?
Well, sure. I love talking about all this stuff. I wish I had a better science brain. That's what I wish. I was never, you know, great at physics or, you know, those things. But I understand principles of energy. And when somebody speaks to me in the principles of energy, then I get it. Because that's something I can feel. That's something that I can process in life, like everyday life. What does that mean to me? And even philosophically, to understand, you know, how that works. Mm-hmm. But I think that, you know, if one of the greatest examples that I've come across, and it's repeated frequently, if somebody has, let's say your room is in absolute chaos, you just can't do anything. You know, your brain is all kind of fried, you're mixed up, confused, where is this, where is that? And your entropy is like going through the roof, right? Like you mm-hmm. can't think straight. But if you organize things, get it all kind of put into place, now energy can flow, and now you can feel a little better organized. Now, some people, like I do, I kind of function better to a small, like with a small level of chaos, because it stimulates me. But there's always that point where I get overwhelmed, and I say, "Whoa, I got to clean this up," because you know, as everybody knows, their entropy, what I think is their entropy ceiling, kind of what that boundary is before mm-hmm. you go into stupidness. And I think that lends a lot to people feeling out of sorts and depression and lots of things that go on in life that happens, even if it's unconscious. But I think that what I came across was a really good article in what we call the second law of thermodynamics and how to better understand this second law. And so if you think of it, I'm just going to go with it this way, Michael. I'm just going to read you some of this article. A living cell's primary tasks of obtaining, transforming, and using energy to do work might seem simple. However, the second law of thermodynamics explains why these tasks are harder than they appear. None of the energy transfers, along with all energy transfers and transformations in the universe, so I'm taking that's whether it's everyday life or the universe, nothing is really completely efficient in every energy transfer, some amount of energy is lost in a form that's unusable. So in most cases, this form is a heat energy. So thermodynamically, heat energy is defined as the energy transferred from one system to another that's not doing work. So each of us, you know, kind of has that going on because our brains don't 100% work. And well, we're not 100%.
I mean, speak for yourself. Busy. I mean, I think I got at least 70, 75% on a good day myself. But
yeah, well, you know, okay. You got me beat. I'll go with it. The more energy that's lost by a system to its surroundings, the less ordered and more random the system is. And scientists refer to the measure of randomness or disorder within a system as entropy. So high entropy means high disorder and low energy. So to better understand entropy, think of a student's bedroom. If no energy or work were put into it, the room would quickly become messy. It would exist in a very disordered state, one of high entropy. Energy must be put into the system in the form of the student doing work and putting everything away in order to bring the room back to a state of cleanliness and order. This is a state of low entropy. So, and there's many other examples, like in daily life, that we can talk about. Now, we can talk about chemical reactions. We can talk about molecules. We can take it to, you know, other levels of... See, and I think in the world there is a certain amount... I think life is a certain amount of chaos, but...
Sure.
You know,
well, change.
Globally. Yes, exactly. So... And in fact, that would be the next point to make, you know, how we feel like we're in this great state of chaos, but that's what happens before something changes, that transformation.
Right.
So energy doesn't die, it just transforms.
It's transformed from one source to another as you go throughout life. And that's, you know, when, you know, you're going back to that third law, wherein entropy goes to zero when the temperature goes to absolute zero. We can apply that to the metaphorical life when nothing's changing. Sure, entropy is low, but also nothing's changing. It's stagnant. There's no, you're not expending any resources for good or ill. So that in itself can be a dangerous thing. And, you know, it's change is a necessary facet of life. But I think it's, you know, in how we can lessen entropy, how we can negate it at times, and how we can, you know, organize our lives to conserve energy and to also sometimes be rejuvenated to gain energy back.
Well, the other thing, Michael, and I know that if you want to read these points off of this next, I came across, sometimes I really like these articles you can come across, like GetPocket have some really good articles. There are these websites that are pretty cool. Actually,
yeah.
And I sent you that 5 steps for negentropic success. Mm-hmm. So I'll give it to you, Michael. Go ahead.
Well, this is really a fascinating article and a fascinating look at entropy and its opposite, negentropy. And we're going to talk about the 5 steps of negentropic success. So we'll start with one: find the entropy, wherein you find the places where that energy is lost. What's going on in your social system or your daily life that's, you know, sapping it? And they use an analogy of a thorough map of the outside of your house, where you can then determine where is heat getting out, where are you losing, you know, efficiency, where is the high entropy in that house. Use that in your life. Find the entropy first. And two, prioritize the losses. Wherein you identify the largest or most annoying losses and those that draw your attention most often. Their example is perhaps a leaky kitchen faucet that's driving you crazy. Fixing it's going to free up your mind to think more creatively or to consider other things around the house or to, you know, use on other projects instead of being irritated about that gosh darn leaky faucet. So we move on to 3. You come up.
Well,
with
you said it much nicer than I would have.
Oh, I'm going with Mormon cursing while we're on air.
Okay,
we don't want to spice it up too much, but
all right.
So we're going to look at number three, coming up with a plan. And then you identify actions that will reverse the energy loss or the high entropy that you noted and plan ways to address the highest priorities first. You start by fixing the leaky faucet, picking up your socks, and cleaning your room. If pre-planning meetings are causing your organization a lot of trouble, analyzing the problem and figuring out how to fix it is paramount. So then you go to four, try it out and pay attention. So you put your ideas into action and you measure the results and adjust as needed. Going into number five, you go beyond the fixing and maintenance. And you work to reverse those energy losses. You know, try to get some of that back through organization and through putting things in their proper place. You may find at times that you are actually maintaining a social system that isn't beneficial no matter how smoothly it works. So spending your time improving an orientation to introduce, you know, new ideas into a system could be itself, you know, what it needs to change in the best way. So being able to go beyond the immediate, once you can get a system running, then you can start thinking creatively. It frees up resources. It's on the hierarchy of needs, right? In a different kind of way. So,
And it's something else, like in another direction of people who do nothing and you think that your entropy is really low. It's actually a reverse because everything around you is chaos.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't participate in something, do you know what I'm saying? We have to participate. So one of those points there is, besides getting a plan, is to pay attention. You know, and I think that that's what's really important in the observation of where are you, you know, kind of losing energy and being willing to participate in that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's really important for people. I do. I think that, I'm just going through life. I'm good, you know. Meanwhile, all the corners are dirty. You haven't taken the stove out and cleaned behind it for 3 years, and there's a nest of mice. You know what I mean? It's like there's all this stuff going on around you, so we don't pay attention and participate. So I just think that that's an important one a lot of people overlook.
Oh, I think so. Absolutely, you're right. And thank you for bringing that up, because you have to, again, you know, pay attention and measure the results to see what's working and what's not. You got to tweak things, because, you know, what's the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over expecting a different result. But
that's not working for you. You know, I heard Dr. Phil say something about, well, how's that working for you? And I said, hey, he stole my line. I've been saying that for years before that. You know, how's that working for you? It's not. What's the result? You know, it's trying to tell a sick person that they're sick, and they're saying, no, I feel fine. No, you're not. That's okay. And so it's that understanding, again, back to the point of entropy. In every social shift, things appear to go into chaos. So right at, you know, like we're talking the microcosms and the macrocosms. So even in your life, if you're feeling that, you know, restlessness and that, you know, things are kind of, you know, you're feeling that stress, quite often intuitively that can mean, oh, you're coming upon a change, or that a change is needed.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it can be one or the other.
And, you know, I think it's also important to, when we talk about entropy and systems and things, it's important to note that this is all part of the kind of the cyclical nature of life. That you have the essential, at least in per cycle, and you know, so many cycles we go through. When you think about concepts like reincarnation or the existence beyond this life and this realm, but we have the birth, life, entropy leads to death, and then the cycle begins anew. The energy that was you will feed into other life. And you think about change, you think about social systems, you think about entropy in a culture, you can see civilizations rise and fall, but the people that belong to that civilization, their descendants still walk the earth. So it just changed. that system fell, the energy that supported that system or that civilization, that way of thinking is, so when I say system, I mean like that form of government or that people, that cultural unit, the ancient Romans being a good example. It changed. The energy went to different forms of cultural structures, different ways of doing things. And, you know, you could see high entropy at the waning days of the Roman Empire. And if they, those stupid Romans, if they had only put things into order and cleaned up their room, they would have been able to keep the barbarians at bay. But.
I know. You know, it just brought to mind, though, at a more fundamental level in life, I had a visit yesterday, and the first time a video, kind of visit with a woman I've known 45 years, and I haven't seen her. I've talked to her on the phone many times over the years, but this is the first time we've seen each other in probably 20 years. So it was really good to, you know, catch up. And we're talking about how, as being older, she's 74, and this year I'm 66. So we're talking about how the stages of life, these phases of life, and how we're both to a point where we look back and we say, boy, we put ourselves through a lot of nonsense. You know, it's all that nonsense of life. And but that nonsense is necessary in the phases of being a human being, living a human life. You know, we're run by biology. We're run by the needs of the day and the society and our cultural pressure. And, you know, there's so many things that we're obsessed with in a way.
Exactly. I mean, make no mistake, we have free will and we are self-aware creatures that are self-driven, but we are also the human animal, and we can't ignore that. We have social pressures because we're a social animal. We are, to our core, in our DNA, designed to seek out, you know, peace and coexistence within a social structure for protection, for survival. It's part of how we exist as a species. It's also one of our greatest sources of joy.
It is. Well, I had asked her. She does some fabulous artwork, and she does a lot of weaving, sculpting. She actually is a carver. But I asked her if, you know, she still does weaving, and I said, well, are you selling some of your weavings? She said, no, I'm over that. It kind of made me laugh, and she said, oh, what it takes to do the marketing and the selling and the being, you know, and now it's COVID, so that does that, she said, but I don't have it in me anymore to do that. Do you see? And so therein lies some entropy, you know, of what brings her life joy and, you know, the stress of having to go on that other session. Now I'm over that. Of course, she has a certain level of comfort right now, that she doesn't have that need to go out and sell things. If somebody wants it, sure, she'll, you know, sell it, or she gifts things. But, you know, it's that energy that you're putting out, and what's the return of that? And if you don't have the energy, but right now her entropy is low, there's order in her life, you know, she's managing through, and it's good. And so it's, again, these phases of life, you know, and so we have to appreciate that we each go through these, it's like that crescendo, you know, we're building up. The first 20 years, we're growing and learning and adapting, and then there's another 10, 20 years of this, and then 20 years of that. And it's, each phase of life is a very necessary part of the process in the applications to life. Not only are we learning, we're here to create. And what is it that we create? And what's the purpose of that creation? You know, and where is your joy in that creation? That I'm not negating the stress of life, but in a lot of times we have different priorities. Each of us has a different thing to do and a different ride of life. So it's trying to keep your entropy as low as possible, and you know, putting and directing what energy you have in a way that brings you joy and is most productive, no matter the phase of life. So,
I think that's a great way to put it. You know, it's even if entropy is low and you're not doing a lot of things, there's not a lot of change going on, you're still, it's still seeping away. This cycle of your life is going to ebb. What are you doing? What is the purpose? What are you using that energy for?
Well, and exactly. And she's still doing art. She's still being creative. She's still using her spiritual energy, you know, her creative energy. So there is the flow of that. You know, it's, she's not, you know, sitting in front of the TV 24/7. She's,
hey, there's nothing wrong with binge watching TV, but let's go on.
I've watched way too much Netflix in the last year.
Well, everything in balance. But, you know, sometimes, and by balance, I mean, you know, try to binge watch TV fewer days of the week. Like, at least 3 out of 7, that's not bad. That's less than half. Don't worry about it. But, you know, it's about finding balance in life as in a lot of ways, and it's about using that energy towards something productive, finding a purpose. We only have a finite amount of time. It's a valuable resource. What are we using it for?
You know, you just hit a really big one right there, Michael. There's a finite amount of time. Even with the concept, which I believe in, the reincarnation and, you know, that there are multiple timelines, this moment is the only one you have.
Yeah.
It's the only one that you're conscious of in this moment.
Yeah. I mean,
so fulfill that as best as possible.
What came before is a memory, and what is to come hasn't happened yet, so all we have is now. You're absolutely right.
This moment. It's, and I can say, you know, you only live once because you're only in this reality at this moment, in this form, one time.
Yeah.
So, you know, in very many ways, it's all we got. So, you know, doing, but let's appreciate that everybody's doing their best, especially during these days. So I'm going to give everybody a minute to put their name in the chat if you'd like us to draw cards for you. It's our Inner Oracle Self-Discovery cards backed up with the tarot. But to just give a heads up for next week, Michael and I thought we'd talk about how to deal with being COVID weary.
I mean, I don't think it's that big a deal. We've only been dealing with it like 13 or 14 months tops. It's not.
Yeah.
I mean, you come back and we'll talk about fatigue when it's been, you know, 36 or 48 months. But I'm kidding,
but
of course.
Will.
It's been going on forever.
Yeah, it's a really good discussion to have.
Yeah.
And because we can take it again to the individual life and the stresses, right to the macrocosm of it and how this shifts our consciousness globally. So, how we're dealing with COVID fatigue.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that next week.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that conversation. It's going to be as much for myself as it is for anybody else, so thank you for that. But, all right, I think we're going to get into our cards. And
we've got names popping up.
We do.
Let's go.
So I was thinking, you know, just because we were covering the topic, and I don't want to just rely on random chance that this card will be pulled, so I just want to, at the outset, read wild card number 6, Entropy, to kind of round out what we were talking about and as we launch into our cards.
All right.
All right, so within the cycle of life, there are useful energies, which are low entropy, that can wane to uselessness or high entropy. Their energy stands still and their entropy increases. They no longer give value to the evolution of life. This can include an attitude or behavior that requires adjustment to once again take a new step in renewal and rebirth, thus lowering one's entropy. When one seeks to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem, that one lowers his or her personal entropy and the world is a better place. So, something to kind of wrap up our discussion and transition us into the Inner Oracle and Tarot cards.
Oh, I love it.
So, I hope
it's it's a good discussion. I hope people have benefited in some way to understand when that word is used and what that is, but take it into your own life.
Oh, exactly.
In some way,
yeah.
Viewing your life a little bit differently and say, where's my entropy? And like as Michael, you know, described in the Gantropy, you know, some of those steps. It's just a good thing to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
all right.
We have Jamil up first, Michael. What do you got?
All right, let's see. Ah, another wild card, number 4, Unknowable.
Ah, I like it.
Let's see. Wild card number 4. There are mysteries in the universe. Not all can be known or predicted. A focus of deliberate intent can reveal valuable, unforeseen knowledge for what lay ahead. Remember, we only see what we know and believe. The universe is unfolding in ways that are unknowable to your existing ways of thinking. Change your mind and you change your world. Change your mind and what was once unknowable may now be knowable. Listen to the subtle leadings and incitations of your higher self. What was once unknowable is now knowable. Remain flexible and open to change.
Well, Jamil, I don't mean to sound cliche, but with the Three of Hearts in support of unknowable, it's maybe a reminder, and it's good for all of us too, by the way, to push the pause button, as I say, and look at what is good in your life. You know, it's sometimes what we're looking for in life, or we're searching for or yearning for, even at an unconscious level, because we think we're, life isn't so great or isn't going the way I want it to right now, is take an inventory of what does bring you joy and what you do have in your life. And then that the building blocks from there. So what you couldn't see, you can now see, because it's you just changing your perspective. So again, I don't want to sound, you know, too woo-woo about that, but it's and not to be, you know, condescending in any way, because we all need this reminder, is when we feel a little bit out of sorts, if indeed the, you know, that's going on for you right now, or you're having a moment, it's okay, push the pause button, take a breath, and there's some good stuff here, I'm okay. This is all right. And then build from there again. So I really, with all sensitivity, I hope that makes sense to you, Jamil.
All right. Good message. Could definitely empathize. All right. And we have Ronaldo next.
All right.
Number 19, invoke the counselor within. All right. Let's see. There are times to seek advice from others as a means of summoning your own truth. But the answers you seek lie deep within. Look there. This may be a time to remind yourself to not codependently surrender your power to anything or anyone outside yourself. Always determine your own truth and live according to the path that is right for you.
Well, in support of that, Ronaldo, is the major arcana, judgment. Now, that says to me about invoking the counselor within. It's like speaking on your own behalf and feeling confident in what you believe or know or feel. Even if it's as an opinion, you're not trespassing or giving unsolicited advice, but just sharing what you know and or what you think, but allowing space for other people to be okay where they are also. Just makes for a good discussion, but that invoking the counselor within is speaking on your own behalf as well. And I see the relationship in that, even though it's kind of one to grasp for a minute. But I think that's a really positive reinforcement of you being cool with who you are. And it's good, and we're always evolving. You know, what comes to mind, too, one of my favorite sayings all these years, when people ask me what I think or what I believe in, I say, well, I can share what I believe in or think today, but, you know, next week it could change. I'll have more information then.
Exactly. I mean, frankly, if your belief systems aren't evolving and changing over time, then something wrong is going on. Because, you know, going back to the unknowable, there's so much we don't know. And we learn a little bit more every week. But, all right, great message. I loved it.
Edward is next, I think.
I have that as well. And we have another wild card. It's wild card kind of night. Number 8, freedom.
Oof, I like that. Gives me chills.
All right. Freedom is a state of being. It is an unencumbered mind that can remain open and move forward. Freedom is the ability to recreate the self, shedding old ideas that no longer serve any purpose for present and future evolution. Freedom is the knowing of who and what one is as a free and sovereign being of the universe. Freedom means that one can be or do anything one wants within the limits of do no harm and do right.
Well, in support of that, Dr. Edward, is the Ten of Clubs. You know, the moving forward in your own path and knowing who you are, it does come with a certain amount of stress. Mm. So I'm not, truth. You know, there's no way to get around that. You know, it's not always easy to navigate you being different from the pack, so to speak. And so it's saying you're getting to your destination.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're getting to your destination, but you might feel that pressure. But it's, you know, Wendy's, our card keeper, saying in the chat that, Edward, you had this card not that long ago.
Yeah, that's what I was reacting to as well.
Yeah, yeah.
A little pattern there.
Yeah. So it's you feeling free, knowing better who you are, moving forward. But not everybody is going to agree with you. Not everybody is going to, you know, kind of be on side all the time, and you're going to feel that. But I'd rather be who I am than be a part of the pack any day. So
there's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah, I like it.
Got to be yourself. All right. And we have our card keeper, Wendy, next. And to those, you know, joining us who are a little newer or those listening to the archives, Wendy helps us out a lot. She tracks the cards that we pull to kind of look for trends, just like she pointed out for Dr. Edward. And it's kind of interesting to see. It adds an interesting dynamic. So thank you, Wendy, for doing that. Always appreciate our card keeper and world-renowned chef, not to be forgotten. So, Wendy, let's see what we have for you tonight. I have number 12, Spirit, Cosmos, and Divine Energy.
Ooh.
Let's see. Drawing this card indicates the evolving relationship you have with your own inner spirit or higher self within the context of the greater universe. You are growing your relationship within the cosmic consciousness. Continue to observe and appreciate the interconnectedness of all life forms within the fabric of life and the important role you and they play.
Well, Wendy, I pulled two. Two came out. One is the Page of Diamonds, Page of Pentacles, and the Chariot. So that is what I'm saying, really cool, because you're on your right path. That's what this says to me. Everything that's going on right now is completely on your path. How do I say this? The universe is, how do I say, when you're on your own frequency, you know that. When you're not on your own frequency, if you're making decisions that are more agreeable to other people, then you're not on your frequency, because you're kind of compromising yourself. But when you're on your own frequency and you're negotiating with other people but still staying on your frequency, that's good. So in matters of how you support yourself, your independence, and how you're moving forward, because the chariot driver is in total control of negative and positive. Somebody who's got the balance of it, you know, you're driving the cart, so to speak. So you're not giving up so much of yourself. Of course, I'm implying then that you had in the past, but I'm going to say you're a woman and you likely did. You know, a lot of people do that. But now you're more intact, and there's this energy that's working in support of that. So I think that, I know you're on holidays right now, taking vacation time. I think this is a really good time for you, because that's, you're gathering that energy and your force. So, and I think that there's some thinking in your head that's kind of clicked in, and you got this now. Ooh, she's coming out of the gate, Michael.
Oh, love it. That's a great message.
Yeah. We have Dr. Jeff with us tonight. I'm so glad to see you here, Jeff. That's awesome.
Glad to have you. And let's see what we have tonight for the Inner Oracle card. We have number 29, Pay It Forward. Kind of the core principle of being a metaphysical humanist. All right, let's see. Living with gratitude and responsibility extends generosity to others, even with random acts of kindness that offer no self-benefit except the satisfaction of heartfelt kindness. This may be a time to calm the spirit and lift the heart by giving forward. Without any particular reason, reminding yourself that love is the center of all life. Is there a way that you can pay it forward right now?
Jeff, I got the Eight of Hearts in support of that. Now, I know that you pay it forward. We all know that. What this can also mean, an equal and opposite, is are you getting something in return?
So, great point.
Energy has to come, you know, has to move, right? That keeps the entropy low. So, Eight of Hearts, I see as, I call it one of the back cards. It's just the way I've always called it. It's where you feel like you might be walking in the dark a little bit. And things, as Michael said in the Pay It Forward card, love is at the center of that. So feeling like you might not really know where things are at the moment. But here's what I want to say, is that the feeling is really positive. There's still movement. Everything is still going forward. Energy is moving. And you continue just to be who you are. In that giving forward, and we all know you're literally a great guy doing great work and just living your life. You got two great kids and who are growing and graduated, I think, now. So life is in a shift. So that's how I'm going to be kind of more realistic about it for you in fundamental life. But I think that life is moving forward, and I like it. It just, you might not feel like you have the answers today. That's all. Look, that's the short of it. You don't have the answers, but they're coming. I like it. But just take inventory that you're also getting what feeds you, what energy is coming your way. So I like that message. It's always good for us to take inventory that way. I know Wendy said she doesn't have any comparable data with cards for Dr. Jeff. Well, Jeff tunes in once in a while. He's a busy guy. Yeah. Anyway. Anybody else in there, Michael? I'm not hearing Michael. Anybody else hearing Michael?
Oh, I was saying some great witty things on mute, but now they're lost to history forever. So...
that's funny.
We do have a card, one more card to pull. We have somebody calling themselves Audra 2, somebody impersonating our good friend Audra, but we're going to pull a card from anyway.
All right, Audra.
All right. So Audra, number 26, energy signature.
Another good one.
This card is a call to be aware of energy signatures, which is the vibe a person puts out or the energy of a situation. Energy signatures are changed by increased awareness resulting from gaining more knowledge and wisdom of self. Review the present energy signature that you may be sending, or that of a situation, individual, or relationship. Keep what is healthy. Remove what is unhealthy. Remember, you cannot change others. You can only change yourself and your own energy signature.
Well, I'm sure I've describe the Hanged Man in past programs, but I'm going to do it again here.
That's a good one.
Energy signature with the Hanged Man to me is a really powerful message. I love the Hanged Man. To be honest, it's like one of my top three favorite. And the reason being, it reminds me of Odin, who hung on the tree of Yggdrasil, wanting to know the secrets of Mimir, like the secrets of women, the secrets of life. And she had said, well, you have to give something up. Now, metaphorically speaking, he sacrificed an eye to be able to see more and better. But the metaphor is really when you release something, and usually of the physical world, at least your attachment to that, then you're able to see who you are more as a spiritual being. And then you kind of tap into the magic of that. So energy signature, and then with the Hanged Man, is who are you as a frequency of energy? And it's like, for a minute, never mind the job, never mind the life, it's like, who are you? And that's a powerful moment. Because then your energy moves differently, your focus changes, you become more real with who you are in the world. Myself, Audra, I love that. it can be a hard one sometimes because we have to give up some emotional attachments. But, you know, it's like I said, you know, this friend of mine, we were talking about all that stuff back there. It was all nonsense. It didn't mean anything anyway. It's letting go of things that have no value in your life anymore and being able to really tap into your inner sense. Oh, thanks for the feedback, Audra. She's been feeling a need for that lately. So, I like it. It's a good one.
It's a really great message and, you know, some just really great intuition. I think you're knocking out of the park tonight, Dr. Hunter.
Oh, yay. I'll have another drink. No, I'm kidding.
We don't do that. That's ridiculous. Oh, that's silly.
You know, I really am looking forward to next week's topic because there's so many things that run around in my head about what great opportunities we have right now. And really, historically, I want everybody to ponder this, so you make sure you come back next week. Historically, whenever there has been a great pandemic on the earth, whether it was, you know, the bubonic plague or the other great flu in 1918, no matter what happened, at the end of that, as that cycle ended, there has been an increase in affluence, creativity, companies, food. The other side of it has all been really positive, and we're going to talk about that more next week.
Yeah, it's going to be it's going to be a good topic. And it's kind of, you know, the sad thing is you do have a harsh time like this. You have so much pent-up creativity and also, frankly, more resources to go around. It's a sad truth, and we don't want to get there that way, but nonetheless, it's going to be an interesting topic, and there is light ahead. There is an end in sight, and we're going to get through this, and we're going to be better for it, you know. For those of us who haven't been, you know, personally devastated by it, and I don't want to say that, because I say, we're going to be better for it, thinking just now about somebody who might have lost a family member, and they're probably thinking, no way in hell, but.
Well, that's where to deal with what's COVID weary and also the grieving, because that, you know, it comes with us learning about shifting and changing and grief and being really real about it, because you can't bring about really good change without being real in this moment. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes pain leads to change, and it's just a part of life. I mean, we've had many, many of these cycles since the bubonic plague, and, you know, we will have many more. It's an unfortunate part of the world in which we live, but we have to appreciate each and every moment, because time is finite. We don't have enough time on this world to just worry about, to not take the opportunity to appreciate all of the wonderful and beautiful things that we have. So as we kind of wrap up tonight, you know, it's been a wonderful discussion about entropy, and more importantly about the practical applications in life, in maintaining proper order in life to avoid that kind of chaos. And also, Dr. Hunter, you hit it, the nail right on the head when you were talking about what is your purpose and the great stories there. So thank you for that. And any last thoughts?
No, as I say, Michael, I'm always glad to be here. I say that off the top of the program, but I really mean it. I love this family that we have, the school and the church, and, you know, just the energy of it. And I look forward to it on Wednesday nights.
I do too. And, well, you know, sometimes I'm just saying it. You know, of course, I have to say that I look forward to seeing everybody. But this week, I really did enjoy it, and I'm really looking forward to next week. And I'm being, you know, super honest about that. But. No, of course, I do. I look forward to chatting with people that we get to know, you know, our regulars. And, you know, we're looking to broaden this. We're looking to add new features, which are still on the horizon. We've had some hiccups, but they're coming down the pike. And we're gonna be having a good time. So I look forward to continuing this community and to supporting one another. So thank you for joining us tonight. Looking forward to another great conversation next week. Until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.